everyone, welcome to the XCast X-Files Podwatch, episode 65. Today we're covering SR-819, Antivenus. I'm your host Carl Sweeney and Sarah Blair is with me. Hi Sarah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi Carl,
yeah,
how
I'm
are
good.
You?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? I haven't spoken to you since we recorded Synchrony and Small Potatoes, so how have you been since then?
It's been a while. It's been going great.
Oh good, I'm glad to hear it. So are you looking forward? We're in mid-season 6 here. What do you think of season 6? You know, this is the one where there's a lot of comedy stuff, especially in the early part of the season. They've moved to Los Angeles, obviously, so the series looks a lot brighter and sunnier. But what do you think about it overall?
Overall, it used to be one that I would sort of skip over most of them.
Oh, interesting.
Because I got so mad when they moved to LA. I got really resentful of that. So I was like, oh, well, they're in LA. There aren't many episodes that I want to watch, but when I went back to do the rewatch for season 10, I saw them in a whole new light, and I sort of got over that NLA thing, and there were quite a few episodes that I really enjoy on this season.
Yeah, there's lots of good stuff. I was expecting you to say the exact opposite, to be honest, so you've I'm stunned. What was it about you just thought that Vancouver was, you know, it suited the X-Files perfectly? Is that what it was?
Yeah. That, and I felt I was young and had a huge crush on David Duchovny, and I know that there were rumors or sayings that they moved to LA so that he could be with Sia Leone and closer to his family and all that, and I just got really mad at her. I was like, that's my Mulder, you can't have him. So
quite understandable.
I didn't want to think about that, but yeah.
Right, well, that was an interesting
interesting theory.
Peek into the psyche of a teenage girl there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, SR-819 and Antivenus. So we're in January 1999 here. So SR-819 is episode 9 of season 6. It was written by John Scheiben and directed by Daniel Sackheim. And this, of course, is the episode. It focuses mainly on Walter Skinner. He comes down with an illness. He gets told he's got 24 hours to live. And the episode sort of unfurls the mystery of what's going on there. So, generally speaking, Sarah, what do you think of this episode?
I like it a lot because it has Skinner in it. And he's one of my favorites. I know you knew I was going to say that.
I had a sneaking suspicion. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, as far as Skinner goes, it's good. But, I mean, there's other aspects about it that I like, too. Just the nanotechnology is really cool that he gets infected with. And I love that they constantly try to destroy Skinner and find ways to either frame him for murder or get him sick or blackmail him, because that just lets you know what a great character he is and that he's on Mulder and Scully's side, and they're constantly trying to thwart him, but he never really goes down. He stays strong, the Skin Man.
Yeah. Because there's a line in an earlier episode where he talks about how he's on the line that Mulder and Scully keep crossing, and he's kind of in the middle between them and the FBI and the Syndicate and everything. So it's always fun whenever he's on center stage.
Yeah,
I like the nanotechnology stuff too. I was always a bit upset, but not upset. I wish they'd have done more with that. I know it comes back a few times, but I always thought they were setting something up really big with this Skinner under Krycek's thumb thing. But it never developed. It comes back here and there, but it doesn't figure as prominently as I thought it would.
Right.
But yeah, so Krycek is the guy, obviously, as I alluded to there. And you were telling me that Nicholas Lee's name was withheld until the final credits to maintain the surprise.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool little bit of information I dug up, that he wasn't in the opening credits as a guest star. So you left him off so that everybody could be surprised.
Yeah, now I remember being surprised first time round, and now watching it back on Blu-ray with a bigger TV and everything, it's quite clearly Nicholas Lee wearing a big giant beard. But it did take me aback the first time,
yeah,
and it's a shame that Krycek, as much as we got to see of him, I always wanted to see more, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's a lot of characters in the X-Files I would have liked to see more of.
Yeah, I suppose it's better to want more than to be sick of somebody. Speaking of recurring characters, this also has the character of Senator Matheson, who appears, first of all, in Little Green Men. And I believe this is his final appearance, too.
Yeah.
And, we hear a bit in the beginning of the series about Mulder's connections in Congress, and we see Senator Matheson a few times, but eventually that's not really developed either.
Yeah, I wish they could have done more with him, especially in Redux and Redux 2 and Gethsemane and that, because I would have liked to have seen a lot more involvement being in Congress and all of that.
Yeah, it would have been interesting, but sadly it wasn't to be. So what about Skinner then? Let's go back to Skinner. So obviously there's only a handful of episodes which are about him, first and foremost. This is one of them. Mitch Pileggi's always pretty reliable, isn't he? And he turns in a good performance.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, and as always, I like seeing more of his personal life. Having him be in the boxing ring and seeing how he works out and stays in shape and that kind of thing is really interesting. And how sort of he just goes about his life because he's, like you said before, he's walking this fine line between Mulder and Scully and the syndicate and. Like, what does he do in his spare time when he's not with at the bureau doing his day job, so to speak? I love finding out about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and because we never, before this episode, I don't think there's ever any allusion to him liking boxing or anything like that, but it does fit, I think, with what we know about him. It doesn't sort of it doesn't feel wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes
Yeah.
total to you see him at this boxing workout center and you're like, "Oh yeah, of
Yeah.
course he would be a boxer." That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever you
Yeah.
do get those tidbits from his life, I think everything falls into place and it makes a lot more sense, but I just want more backstory and I want to know what he does in between. I know I say this every single time, but
It's all right.
I just want him to have his own series. He just needs his own series.
He does. In terms of the Skinner episodes, so there's this one, and there's Zero Sum, and there's Avatar. So, how good is this one in comparison to the others?
I think I like Zero Sum the best.
I think I'd agree with
And
that.
yeah. But I mean, they're all good in different ways. It's hard to pin down. Because in Avatar, you get more of his characterization, I think, than it's focused more on his backstory with Vietnam and his wife. You realize, hey, Skinner's got a wife.
Yeah.
What? Who knew?
Who knew?
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I think this one, as it goes on and he gets more ill, it becomes a bit more of a Mulder investigation.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I think Zero Sum's better because that is Skinner all the way through, front and center.
Yeah.
But this is still a pretty good episode, I think.
For sure. Yeah, I would put it, well, because I'm a Skinner fan, it's probably higher than other people would put it, somewhere between 50 and 75 ish in the
Out of
ranking.
the whole 200. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. But I
Okay.
mean, yeah, I love Skinner, so they're gonna be up there no matter what.
Yeah, so any episode of Skinner gets a bit of a boost in your ratings, yeah.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough, but let's move on to talk about Tivenus. Tivenus is episode 10 of season 6. It was written by Vince Gilligan and directed by Michael Watkins. And this, Sarah, is the episode with the character of Alfred Fehlig, who's the photographer who's trying to capture a moment of death in one of the people he takes photos of. And he's played by the actor Jeffrey Lewis. So what do you think of Fehlig, and what do you think of the episode as a whole?
I think on a whole, it's really creepy. I love the creepy, dark aspect of it. It's a really heavy episode dealing with death and I know because Scully had her brush with death and cancer and being abducted, and she's been through the ringer. And I think that there's a lot of internal stuff going on with her that we, whether we necessarily get to see it on screen, you sort of understand why this could be a fascinating subject for her.
Yeah, that's the, because that's, this is still at the point where the X-Files are closed down after the events of, no, sorry, that's not right. They're not closed down, but Spender and Fowley are assigned to the X-Files, and Mulder and Scully are reassigned. So Scully's actually paired up with an agent called Peyton Ritter in this episode, and Mulder's left jealously, you know, at the end of the phone talking about the case. So there's some nice stuff there in this episode. Mulder does turn up at the end. So what did you think about, you know, Scully's paired up with this younger agent who's quite energetic, and what did you think about that contrast?
It's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah,
to see, because you're so used to her being with Mulder and having them bounce off of each other. It's not necessarily off-putting, but just sort of, yeah. It's strange.
Yeah, and it's quite a long time into season six that, you know, they're having to come up with these reasons for the agents to be investigating X-Files, even though they're not officially assigned anymore.
Yeah, it's tricky.
But it won't be long after this point that they're back on the case, back in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Fellig, we find out that he's, I can't remember exactly how old, but he's, you know, he's kind of ageless. Since he's cheated death, he's stayed the same age in appearance, even though he's hundreds of years old. And the actor, Jeffrey Lewis, he's great. I think he embodies this, you know, you really feel the sense of misery that he feels at being forced to live out his days when he doesn't want to.
Right. And isn't it an interesting sort of, I guess, I don't know, philosophical question?
It is really, actually, isn't it? Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, you would assume that if somebody said to you, you can live forever, you'd... Right. I assume you'd feel quite positive about that, but he absolutely doesn't.
Yeah, it's more of a curse to him than a blessing, because, I mean, and as not to bring this around to my book again, but it's a subject that is close in my mind because I think about it a lot, because my characters are not necessarily immortal, but they've been alive for a really long time. So I contemplate that subject a lot when I'm trying to write my characters, because they think
well, in this episode he talks about I think he says something like everybody he knew, you know, all his friends died, and the woman he loved died, and there's so long has passed that he can't remember her name, I think he says.
He
does convey that sense of why it would be so miserable.
Yeah, and especially how do you make friends and how do you fall in love again knowing that you're going to outlive that person, and you're going to be the one that has to say goodbye again. It's a tough position to be in. I can understand why he would be miserable.
Because Scully says to him, you know, there's so much to see and so much to do, but he really doesn't accept that at all.
Right. Yeah.
And in terms of the this episode is notable for people, you know, the fan theory that Scully is immortal. This episode ties into that.
Yes. Because
in the earlier episode, Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, you know, Scully said to Clyde Bruckman, how do I die? And he says, you don't. And the theory here is what, Sarah? That Scully, by cheating death, and Fellig does die at the end of the episode, the theory, I think, is that she now is immortal and she can't die.
So, and then they pick up, did you mention season 10?
Not yet, no, yeah, that's right. So,
in season 10 with Mulder and Scully and the Weremonster.
Yeah, no, Scully says, don't forget Mulder, I'm immortal, or something like that. But I've heard Darren Morgan, he didn't write this episode, Vince Gilligan did, but he wrote Clyde Bruckman, and he's talked in the past about, you know, he'd go to conventions and things, and people would ask him about the Scully being immortal thing, and that wasn't the intention at all originally. I think Vince Gilligan liked to... whether this was a direct nod to it, I'm not sure, but yeah. I've heard lots of fans bring it up over the years.
Well, it's an interesting concept. And isn't it curious how, I guess, where you cheat death, that you just don't look. And it and is, I mean, I guess that he told her to do that so that he could die, right? Because he wanted to die.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
It is, yeah. I think it's a really interesting episode overall. Mm-hmm. How highly do you rate this then? I know Vince Gilligan wrote a lot of good episodes. How good an episode is it in comparison to his others?
Well, I think it's up there.
Yeah.
I really, being someone who, personally, I like the dark stuff.
Mm.
So I think it's definitely top-ish out of all of his episodes. I think I like Drive for the aspect of the suspense and the characterization. But as far as, I would probably put it above Drive just because of the subject matter.
Okay.
But I wonder, and then Bad Blood obviously is number one.
Yeah, a lot of people think that's number one, you know, for the whole series, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to argue with. It's so good. Yeah,
definitely
I'm not sure.
Better than Vince Gilligan did Roadrunners, right?
He did, yeah. And
yeah, that's way down on the list.
I think Roadrunners is better than this. I must say.
You do,
but I do. But I think this is a good episode too.
Mm-hmm.
Does this one meet the rewatch test then? So if you're rewatching a bunch of episodes and you come to Tivenus, do you skip this one or do you watch it?
I would watch it. Definitely.
You watch it?
Yeah, now I would. Before, I wouldn't have.
Oh, okay. So it's one that's grown on you a little bit.
Yeah. And the rewatching every single episode really sort of opened my eyes to a lot that I hadn't liked before. But now I do for, you know, various different reasons. Either because I'm watching it as a writer now instead of just as a fan. And technically, it's a good episode on that front, or just the suspense or how they craft the episode. And from a critical point of view, I see them a lot differently. So I think it's kind of good to maybe go through every now and then and do a watch of every single episode, because you never know, you might be surprised.
Yeah, that's definitely my experience too. There's always stuff that rises in my estimation. Yeah, I think every few years when you do a rewatch, there's always something that's going to catch you out a little bit. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's SR819 and Tivenus. Tomorrow on the XCast X-Files Podwatch, the episodes being discussed are Two Fathers and One Son. In the meantime, if you want to find us on Twitter, go to @thex_cast. And if you want to find us on Facebook, we've got a Facebook page and also a Facebook group. So to find the group, it's the X-Files Basement, the XCast Podcast fan group. So I think if you type in X-Files Basement, you'll find us. So my thanks to you again, Sarah. But until next time, listeners, trust no one.